Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's hour number three of the nation. We're going to get Bobby Corella, All City Dallas, here in just a second, talking Mavs with him. We go to the Twitter account of one Jane Slater. She says, one thing to watch following Jerry in the discussions with Dion. Two people with knowledge tell me Sanders approached Colorado AD Rick George Tuesday about additional money for NIL and his staff. He was met with resistance. University of Colorado would neither confirm or deny the information when I reached out, says Jane. Dion didn't respond when reached multiple times for comment. Okay, so plot thickens a little bit there. Again, our lead story, if you go back to 3 o'clock, was that Jerry enamored with Dion and that Dion would take the job if it was offered. That was the tweet from a longtime Cowboys insider and reporter, Ed Werder. As Bobby Corella, All City, joins you now here on 105.3 The Fan, and a good afternoon to you, sir. How the heck are you?
I am reeling after the last few days, gentlemen. I'm not going to lie. It's been tough.
22-19, losers of 8 of 10. What is your Mavericks nightmare right now? Like, when you let your mind imagine, like, wow, how bad is this going to get? Where do you go?
My nightmare is kind of becoming a reality. You know, they've played about 2,000 minutes this season. Luka and Kyrie have been on the floor together for 501 minutes this season. So that is about 25% of the total basketball the Dallas Mavericks have played this season. Their two superstars have been on the court together. And luckily for them, other teams in the West have dealt with their own injuries or ineptitudes or whatever the case is. And so despite all of this injury absences and fights and late game meltdowns, Mavs are still right there, you know, in the picture to avoid the play-in, to make the top six. And, you know, if Kyrie Irving is back and didn't just miss last night's game for, you know, injury management, load management, whatever concerns, then they can string some wins together, hopefully hold things down until Luka comes back, and they're going to be just fine. But that's a huge if, because everything about this season seems cursed so far, and I'm starting to get sports sad. I don't know how else to say it. I'm just sad.
You know, I think Kyrie Irving is huge. I am Mavs depressed as well a little bit. I'm hoping for the best. But what do we know about Lively's ankle right now? Because I think that could be just as impactful as Kyrie as far as a path to victory.
I agree with you. I mean, he's so important to what they do on defense. And offensively, his game has taken such a step forward this season, passing the ball, turnaround hook shots, post moves, things like that. You know, Jason Kidd did not seem overly concerned the night that he did sprain his ankle. He said he's going to be out for a little bit. He's definitely not going to play the next game, but after that, we'll see. And in coach speak, that implies at least a little hint of optimism to me. Maybe he can play tomorrow against OKC. It would be great if he could, because OKC's big men are still out. And so maybe the Mavs can do some damage there. But you know, if not, they don't play again until Monday. And so hopefully, you know, a little bit of a layoff is able to, you know, get some ice on that thing and keep the swelling down. But, I mean, the real issue is, even if he is able to play, he's 7-1, 7-2. He's jumping for rebounds. He's jumping to block shots. He's going to be putting a lot of weight and stress on that ankle. And so hopefully it just is, whenever he does come back, it's able to hold up and not slow him down, because his athleticism, his springiness, his mobility is what makes him so effective. So I would much rather see him at 100% if it means missing the OKC game, as opposed to seeing him trot out there, you know, going 40 or 50% and just putting himself at risk of hurting it even worse or hurting something else because he's overcompensating.
Bobby, they only need to win about 19 or 20 more games, most likely, to be a play-in team. And as depressed as I am right now, just get me to mid-April in the tournament in some form or fashion, and I'll take it from there, right? I would love the Mavs' chances of surviving it well into May, maybe June, even in that scenario. That's not at risk, is it? They're not gonna go on such an extended losing stretch where we'll have to think about them not being over 500 at the end of the year, are they?
I don't think so. You know, they've had such a difficult stretch of schedule, not only in terms of travel, but also quality of opponents. And over the next 10 to 15-ish games, through basically Super Bowl Sunday, it's like February 6th, they play at Boston. And I think they have one more tough, maybe it's at Cleveland or at Philly or something right after that. And then they come back home. And from then on out, their schedule gets a whole lot easier. The worry, though, is that over these next 10 to 12 games, if Luka plays zero of them, and if Kyrie, I mean, even if Kyrie plays every single game, the quality of opponents that you're facing is so, so difficult that you could realistically, I mean, they've gone 3-9 in their last 12, and they haven't had a particularly tough stretch of schedule. They could go 3-9 again, and then all of a sudden you're 3 or 4 games under 500, and you're in a position where you have to win 70 or 80% of your games the rest of the year, just to avoid the play-in, maybe even just to make the play-in, depending on what else happens out west. I mean, I know teams are trying to load up at the deadline, but you know, there's a lot of teams that are in the thick of it right now. So hopefully they're able to play close to 500 ball over the next 2 or 3 weeks, however long it takes Luka to get back in the mix. And hopefully he's able to get back in the mix at some point within the next 2 or 3 weeks. When they're healthy, I mean, I've seen enough of them. They went 14-3 over 17 games whenever they were healthy. I think when they're healthy, they're still the second or third or maybe fourth best team in the NBA, and their strength of schedule gets a whole lot easier after the All-Star break. So hopefully they can stack some wins together at that point. But until then, they are going to be in survival mode for sure.
Bobby Carella, All City Dallas, with us here in the G-Bag Nation. To add to the frustration was the ending of last night's game. You have the NBA getting community noted with the Trey Murphy securing the victory for the New Orleans Pelicans there with his emphatic stuff off the backboard. It wasn't. It was goaltending. The league tells us now it was goaltending. What the hell, Bobby?
Dude, we just got lied to on the internet. Like, that is propaganda. You know, we were manipulated. We were gaslit. We were lied to. And I'm not going to take it anymore, all right? It was brutal. You know, it was a very, very bang-bang play. The official that is supposed to call goaltending calls it from kind of like reverse angle behind the play where you get a clear line of sight to the backboard. But it was such a chaotic sequence that there was no official there. And Gediminas Petritis is sitting right under the basket, but that's a really tough angle because there's rubber on the bottom of the backboard, so you can't even see the ball. So it's just a huge, huge blunder on the official's part, and there's nothing that can be done. There is nothing that can be done about it. The way that I'm coping personally is knowing the Mavs' luck. The Pelicans use their last timeout with 4.5 seconds left, down one. They draw up a play. It goes awry, but someone gathers the ball 30 feet from the rim, just throws up some BS, and it goes in. And we're even more sad, you know. So that's how I'm coping right now. But unfortunately, the way the rules are set up, the way the review process and all the review process triggers are set up, it is impossible to do anything to review a non-goaltend call with a game on the line, which to me is insane. I mean, they review whether a guy stepped on a three-point line or whether a guy stepped out of bounds all the time, sometimes minutes later. An NBA game score will change sometimes 5 or 10 minutes later after they've had a chance to review. There was a sequence against the Nuggets a couple years ago where an entire halftime went by, and then they replayed the final couple seconds of the second quarter because Luka, apparently, they found, stepped out of bounds 1 or 2 steps before making a three. So there are systems in place to do this the right way. The NBA just hasn't caught up yet. And hopefully, if Mavs fans muck racking up and make enough noise, you know, some process will be put in place to where this never happens again. But in the meantime, all we have to hold on to is a big fat L.
Yeah, disappointing. The NBA on Twitter perpetuating butt cracks like that. It's disingenuous and it's a disaster. Mm. Bobby Krill, All City Mavs with us here in the nation. How about a bright spot with Jaden Hardy and the offensive night that he had was pretty awesome. Getting more minutes off the bench, 25. He scores 21. The three ball's working. What type of growth have you seen from him this year?
He has... I think he shined the most. You know, last night he was making some jumpers, and that was nice to see. We know he can shoot. You know, I think he's up to almost 40% on the season now, which is really, really good. But where he's been most impressive and where I've seen the most growth from him is knowing when to put the ball on the floor and make something happen. And without Luka and Kyrie right now, and to a degree without Dante Exum, you know, those are probably your three steadiest, most consistent playmakers. Those are definitely the guys that are best able to just bring the ball up the floor and get you into something. They need someone to do some dynamic stuff on offense, you know, to bend the defense, to command attention, to force help, to create open shots for other guys. And Hardy is really the only guy on the roster capable of doing that because he's got change of speed and because he's got a lot of confidence with the ball. Now, sometimes that means you're trying to do a little too much. You know, he can be a little loose, a little sloppy with his handle, and he's been, you know, he's dribbled the ball off his butt and off his foot a couple times, and he'll get his pocket picked. But I'm okay with that because he's trying to do something. He's trying to get somewhere on the floor to create an advantage for himself or for others. You know, beggars can't be choosers right now. The Mavs need someone to do something, and Hardy has embraced that challenge. And, you know, that gives me a little hope for his development as a player because he can be more than just I'm going to come in, try and chain together a couple cool dribbles and take a 20-footer, you know, a really heavily contested shot early in the shot clock. No, like, he can do more than that. He's even made plays, you know, found guys with lobs, which is something that has been almost completely missing from the offense this season. And he's making things happen when he's out on the floor. You can feel the game change. So, hopefully he can get a little more consistent, a little more reliable, and a little more secure with the ball while he's doing that. But that has really impressed me, and it's been something that they've really, really needed in this stretch without Luka and Kyrie.
Hey, Bobby, and you mentioned without Luka and Kyrie, are they asking Dinwiddie to do too much? Is it just? I mean, he's given you everything he has, but is it really just too much to get this done?
He really is doing everything he can, that's for sure. And sometimes that is too much, too. But, I mean, look, here's the deal. He's 33 or something. He's had a bunch of surgeries, a bunch of knee injuries. He just doesn't have that burst, that explosiveness. You know, it takes him a really long time to knock a defender off balance to be able to get past him. You know, this season, he's averaging more than 5 seconds per touch. In the time when Luka and Kyrie have been out, he's averaging more than 6 seconds per touch, which is a quarter of the shot clock that he just has the ball. You know, down the stretch last night, there were 5 straight possessions where he had the ball in his hands for at least 12 seconds without doing anything. And that's just not good enough. You know, you have to get into stuff sooner. You have to, you know, the ball cannot be sticky like that. You've got to keep it moving. You've got to try and search for advantage somewhere. But on the other hand, the collection of guys that he's out there with, you know, Najee Marshall was throwing a bunch of errant passes last night. You know, Klay Thompson tried to ISO at the end of the game and got his pocket picked, and it was a disaster. You know, you're not going to run offense through P.J. Washington. He's been struggling lately. And Daniel Gafford, you can dump it down on the block to him, sure, but that's about it. You know, so there just aren't a lot of other options right now. So on the one hand, you know, yes, they're asking too much of Dinwiddie because he's really the only healthy guy that can dribble the ball right now, which is, and I'm not even trying to say that to be mean, like, it's all their point guards are hurt. But it's kind of always been in Dinwiddie's nature to be a little bit of a ball stopper, a little bit of an ISO hunter, a little too reliant on these step back threes when he's much better at catch and shoot threes. You know, I think he's a really good and useful player still when he gives the ball up and then the ball finds him again and he can make a quick decision. But whenever he's your main guy, the head of the snake, the dude at the point of attack, it just takes too long to get into the offense. And the Mavs don't have enough dynamic players at this point to get the ball with 7 seconds left on the shot clock and create something. You know, they've got to be a little more persistent, a little more stubborn about getting into their offense early. And it feels like it's kind of in Dinwiddie's nature to avoid that. So it's been pretty frustrating to watch. But at the same time, again, he's old. He's been injured. He is on the veterans minimum. So it's like, what can you do? You know, it's like you're damned if you do and damned if you don't right now.
Well, you're a beast, Bobby. Thank you so much for your time and insights. And let's go get these Thunder tomorrow. What do you say?
Let's do it. Come on, let's change the vibes. Let's save the world. Let's go.
I like our chances.
Yeah, yeah, Bobby.
Put Lively and Irving in there. Let's go get them. Thank you, Bobby. Bobby Carella, All City Dallas, at Bobby Carella on X. Thank you for making us part of your day. We got a lot of football conversation going on, but this basketball team, obviously the hockey team, and before you know it, we'll be in surprise covering these Rangers. Okay, Woolchuck, it's top 10 time. Where are you taking us today?
I was having so much fun in LA Live yesterday with the conversation we were having about all the television characters. So let's do top 10 most beloved TV characters of all time. Who's your favorite?
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
That's next in the nation.
Welcome back, Nation. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car or truck wreck due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. It's time now for Woolchuck's top 10. Here he is, Zach with an H, the Woolly Bully.
All right, who is your most loved TV character of all time? 877-881-1053. The number to text in your vote for the best and most loved TV character.
Now, it was the Penguin right up till the end there. Oh, man, I don't know how to feel about it now.
Talk about a real villain, real character arc that they showcased there, because you are kind of rooting for him. And then at the end, you do hate him. You mother F. How? Why did you do this? Why? But yeah, he's a sick and twisted man, and that's why he is a villain. I did see this nugget I just want to give you real quick. If you're looking to put any wagers on Eagles and Rams. I was forgetting who they were playing for a second because I saw a picture of Stafford in a Lions jersey, and so my mind went Lions, but I'm like, he doesn't play there anymore. So in real time, that pause was my brain slowly figuring
that's
out.
Weed.
What That's was weird. Going on? You're
I
right.
love watching you work, though. Watching Gosh. Your brain work like that.
I'm trying to Rain Man it over here. Unfortunately, I'm like way slower than Rain Man. Not fast at all. But quarterback Matthew Stafford, Definitely. Awful in rain and snow games. It's expected to snow in Philly. So we could have two snow
they
games.
They played a memorable snow game one time. The Lions and the Eagles played a game that was crazy snow.
I think this might be where the picture is, with Stafford just looking totally uncomfortable. So now we got Rams-Eagles, yeah. Might snow. Stafford's 1-8 in his career in games where it snows or rains. So not good. I mean, his completion percentage is just a hair over 50%. He's got 11 interceptions in those 9 games. Awful 76 passer rating in those games as well. So this is going to need Kyron Williams. We're going to need you here. We want to pull off the upset if wow. that's going to carry on. Maybe McVay can schematically scheme this up. Like we talked about the motion stuff, quick passes. Like let's just get it out in space to Kupp and Puka.
And to be fair on those numbers, and that's certainly something to consider. I always just imagine big, strong arm Matthew Stafford should be able to cut through just about any type of weather. But I would imagine pretty much that entire record is mostly his time with the Lions.
Yeah,
he's just on ass cheese teams.
Yeah, I would bet
he's going to Lambeau versus prime Aaron Rodgers, and you're not winning that football game. But the numbers do kind of speak to just how bad he has actually been in those games.
He doesn't play in a lot of them. I mean, he's been an indoor quarterback his entire NFL career. So, I mean, that's something we talked about with Jared Goff as well. You know, you put him in some bad weather, it might be a little shaky. So, just something to know. I'm hoping that this does not matter. He's about to go 2-9 in said games, okay? And we're going to be just fine here. Just screw you, filthy. All right, let's get to the list. Top 10 most beloved TV characters of all time. We got a lot of Kelly Kapowski love. A lot. As we should. We've got Kelly Bundy got texted in. Skylar White from the 214.
What?
No, that's trolling.
They're just.
I couldn't stand Skylar, right? Like, she's one of my most despised characters in television history. Yeah,
she's awful.
Hank Hill. Gosh dang it, Bobby. Homer Simpson getting texted in. NoHo Hank from Barry.
Yes, dude.
That's a good one.
That's a win.
Goofy. And shout out to the Goofy movie, man. That is a phenomenal soundtrack to this day. Tyrion Lannister getting love. I did get a lot of Topanga on the Twitters. A lot of Topanga. Man, and I can't fight you for that.
You can't ever have enough.
No. I mean, the more Topanga, the merrier. Tony Soprano got some love here. I also ended up getting Wonder Woman. Columbo, old detective. Columbo,
Yeah,
Columbo made 70s, an appearance. Yeah.
I mean, the Incredible Hulk, you want to go back to the 80s, the $6 million man with Lee Majors, the Incredible Hulk, mm-hmm. Bo and Luke Duke. You know, some of those were peppered strongly through my childhood. Me and my brother spent a lot of time being Bo and Luke, Brian.
Oh, wow. Like, did you ever try and slide across the hood?
Of course. Yeah, and it was really tough.
And it was tough because, the
metal. Got to be waxed perfectly. You need the perfect pair of pants on.
Did the metal of your jeans, like, scrape the hood of the car?
Not that I remember, but it had probably been difficult to tell on some of the jalopies that my parents rolled us around there back in the 80s.
Did you guys ever watch the show House, the doctor?
You know, and I never did, but that's on here.
Is it?
Not a top 10 guy. He was literally 11, was Dr. Gregory House.
Yeah.
Just missed it.
A lot of those.
Hugh Laurie.
Hugh Laurie. Yeah. Okay.
Give me Doug Heffernan from King of Queens.
Doug. Yes. Doug Heffernan was an outstanding character. Doug was awesome.
That guy could deliver the hell out of those packages.
Another honorable mention.
B.A. Baracus, the A-team. We want to talk about some great characters. Who was the weirdo guy, the pilot? You know, you had so many.
Oh, yeah.
Classic.
Yeah. Who was the pilot? Gosh darn it. What was his name? George Peppard was the leader of the team.
The colonel. I love it when a plan comes together.
Yeah. Cigar.
I love it.
Trumpet
Winnie dude. Cooper getting texted in.
How about Mike from Breaking Bad?
Yeah, Mike Ehrman Trout.
That was Murdoch.
Absolutely.
Murdoch was the
weird one.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mike should get some love here. Other ones that JJ from Good Times, I got. We also had Jack from This Is Us. I did not watch that show.
Never did.
I liked a Tim Allen and the Santa Claus. You know, they spun that into a TV series
a couple
years. I really enjoyed that.
You know, if you're in Andy Griffin, Michelle Tanner got some love on here as well. Doogie Howser, Urkel. I got some Urkel as well. You guys have any others? Lucius, did
Scooby-Doo.
You have any?
Scooby-Doo.
Oh, Scooby-Doo's an honorable mention. 12 on here, Brian. Okay. 12.
Thank you.
Yeah. Who loves you, baby? Who loves you, baby?
Kojak.
There we go. Yeah. How about this one? Lucy Ricardo?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Big time. Was that said already? I wasn't sure.
No.
Okay.
You're there.
Yeah, that's Lucy Ricardo,
deserves,
man.
Deserves to be named.
SpongeBob. I like SpongeBob. Yeah. Nobody hates SpongeBob.
SpongeBob.
That's what I'm thinking.
I would go maybe some Michael Scott from The Office,
yes.
Just classically hilarious, the way that he sort of curated that character.
Absolutely. We've got Omar
Chandler
Little.
Bing.
Oh, Chandler Bing's going to be in the top 10. Omar Little from The Wire, one of the honorable mentions as well.
Oh, yeah, classic.
Man, Omar was fantastic. Leslie Knope from Parks and Rec. Hilarious.
Well, then Ron Swanson then, right?
Ron Swanson certainly deserves
okay,
some love.
Maybe you're Tyrion, maybe you're Cersei, maybe you like a Lannister, but I always thought that Jon Snow was pretty good there
for
Game of Thrones.
Jon Snow.
Yeah. His girlfriend was cool, too.
Yeah, they're married in real life now as well.
Oh, give me Raymond Rocket, Raymundo from Rocket Power.
Wiggity, 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 wiggity. Spock gets an honorable mention.
Spock.
Barney Stinson gets an honorable mention from How I Met Your Mother. So does Sheldon Cooper from The Big Bang Theory. Mentioned Mike Ehrman Trout. Daryl Dixon from The Walking Dead.
Oh,
I think Daryl's got a new spinoff show himself as well.
Al Bundy on this list.
Al Bundy.
He's still alive in that world?
He's still alive, dude. Wow. I know. I quit watching as well. It just dragged on and on and on. I was like, I just don't care anymore. We mentioned Scooby-Doo and Gregory House. Bugs Bunny comes in at number 10.
Woo!
Bugs Bunny's loved. Joey Tribbiani. From Friends. Number 9. Mm. You mentioned Chandler Bing. He comes in at number 8. That'll be your Friends representation.
Give me Jeffrey from Fresh Prince.
Oh, yes, Jeffrey. Saul Goodman, number 7.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's really strong.
Never made it through the first 2 seasons of that because they were just so boring.
They were. You had to fight.
Apparently, there's a big payoff there.
There is.
Oh, I'll check in on later.
There is. You should. Oh, Ray Romano. That's a good
one. Oh, it's so good.
He's got a new show out on Netflix that wasn't bad. New series.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was pretty. It was solid.
That's an all-timer for me.
Hyped it up a little bit too much, but No Good Deeds, I think, is what it is. It's an easy, 8-episode watch. It was pretty entertaining. Ari Gold is a fantastic character. Absolutely. That's a good text. And Marvin the Martian.
He really made that show.
Shout out to Rachel Starr, local legend. Number 5, Jesse Pinkman.
What was she in?
Yeah. Wow.
Big collection on IMDb. Number 4, Tyrion Lannister.
He went soft, man. I couldn't stand that at the end.
Jesse?
Who went soft?
Jesse Pinkman.
Well, you know, when he wakes up and the girlfriend's dead next to him, I think that was really a turning point for him. That was kind of like rock bottom. And then when he finds
out. That was intense when he was sitting there watching.
Yeah, when you find out, my best friend at the time is responsible, could have prevented it. Yeah. Your whole world's going to be effed up.
Well, then make him a super strong, anti-Walter White guy.
Trying to just get back at him.
But instead, he just turned into a blubbery, crying mess.
He did.
Totally unlikable.
Oh, Marty Bird being texted in from the 510 Ozark.
Yeah,
that final episode.
I did love Marty.
Oh yeah, that girl was good.
Ruth should be on here.
Yeah,
I don't know who didn't
that
love
final
Ruth
scene
from that
was
show.
Wild.
Oh my gosh, I couldn't stand.
What
it.
A great show, man.
Yep. Bill Cosby got some love. That was a very good show. We don't condone anything Bill did, but the show was outstanding.
Iconic.
Tyrion at 4. 3 is Tony Soprano.
Yeah, well deserved.
Number 3, and I was thinking maybe he would be 1. I think Chris Malasanti was also a character that I loved from The Sopranos as well.
I preferred Big P.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Oh, man.
He's swimming with the fishes.
Hated to see him go.
Shout out to that therapist, man. I can't remember her name.
Dr. Melfi?
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Yeah. Or you could say Dr. Milfi, whichever one you want to go. Number 2.
I'm trying to do it the right way. I almost said it incorrectly.
It would have been a perfect Freudian slip there.
Yeah. Real close.
We got The Mandalorian, Joe Goldberg, and you. That's a messed up one right there. Barney Fife.
That's the stalker guy, right?
Yeah.
Barney
Tim
Fife.
Higgins. Yeah, Barney Fife's a good one. Seinfeld being texted in. Charlie and It's Always Sunny's a good one. George Costanza from Seinfeld. Wow. Creed from The Office. Quagmire from Family Guy. Giggity, giggity. Number 2 is Michael Scott. But number 1, the most beloved TV character of all time, is indeed Walter White from Breaking Bad.
Of course it was.
Yeah, everybody had a fantasy.
As evil as he went, you still loved him.
Breaking out of that nerd life, breaking into organized crime.
Yeah.
You get all the answers. You're taking care of your family. You know, he got really bad there in the last couple of seasons.
He did.
You know, and I don't think the end was a reflection on him, but maybe accurate. Maybe it was a genuine portrayal of how that tale might end. And they nailed the finish, bro.
They did.
You know, that is so rare to be able to pull off. Okay, thank you, Woolchuck. Top 10 at 420. Where are we going next, Chief?
A PSA to the unemployed. I got 2 hot options for you next year in the nation.
All right, welcome back, nation. Interesting day for the Cowboys with the talk around Jerry Jones and Deion Sanders. We'll continue that conversation coming up in the Expressway at 520. How you doing over there, Brian?
If you could put one thing in a convenience machine, what would you put in there?
Probably sugar wafers from Keebler.
Man, I thought you were going to go with the donuts.
Yeah, the donuts would just be bad for me.
But they'd be hard to keep fresh.
Unlike the wafers.
You think they'd keep fresh? It'd be hard to keep them fresh?
No, at least 3 or 4 weeks, you're good. They clog me up like nothing else. Those wafers will slide right through you. But those donuts, you know, if you get on a run with them, they'll settle in you like cement.
Yeah, I just had some trail mix and just highly disappointed.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're like...
Wishing you there was a Vegas pizza in there or something?
I couldn't bring myself
fresh
to bring a bunch of Pop-Tarts in here and just start slamming them down, you know?
Well, I think...
the trail mix.
Not while you're on this weight loss journey that you're on.
Our vending machine could use some work, that's for sure.
Here's I've got to say, we need an upgrade.
We do, yeah. Mm-hmm. Somebody get up here and get some good healthy snacks in here for us, Chief. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That'd be good. No more red dyes in the vending machine. Move on over. Okay, pizza. I have...
You're the only idiot that did that.
No, Woolchuck too.
Yep. I'm looking at both of you right now.
Vegas pizza? 3 a.m.?
I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't eat that thing.
Well, I do have some
what
good...
Oh, wait. I'll tell you real quick. Lucky Dog. You got to try one when we're in New Orleans off the street.
Oh,
a hot dog.
The Lucky Dog?
From the cart.
Totally in.
the Lucky Dog.
We'll make a confession video. We'll have our first Lucky Dog.
I'm not going to tell you how it all kind of comes together, but
the sweatiest dog you've ever seen.
I'm down for a good old Lucky Dog.
You have a Lucky Dog.
They got all the fixings. Got to throw some onions and mustard on there.
You could doll it up.
They put cream cheese on there.
Maybe a little jalapeno.
No, I don't think no cheese. I don't think you just.
Yeah, the culinary opportunities that are awaiting us in New Orleans.
You will completely botch that thing up. You will botch it up.
The dog?
No, just in general.
The entire experience?
Yeah, you'll be like, oh yeah, I went to so-and-so, and it will just like...
No, I've got some recommendations. We're going to get some good sandwiches, and I'm going to get to the bottom of this whole muffaletta thing.
I think I'm going to bring them tomorrow.
You're going to move in?
Well, because some people are alleging the muffaletta is actually supposed to be muffaletta. It's a New Orleans sandwich. I'm going to be on the prowl. And we're going to get to the bottom of this thing.
Yeah. I thought you had to go back to the 90s to get the real story on that.
Yeah. Yeah, you might be right. We might have to hop in the time machine this time around. I know old Chuck will be down.
You talking muffs?
Yeah, or moofs. You know, that's the question.
It's muffaletta.
All right.
Muffaletta.
You think it's muffaletta, but you don't
muffaletta.
Know.
Muffaletta.
Muffaletta. Oh, see, now he's saying moof.
Muffaletta.
He's going moof muff. He's going
he's
back
trying
and forth.
To, you're pulling a fast one on us.
I'll figure it out.
Well,
a damn good sandwich. I know that.
I have some damn good opportunities for the unemployed if you're looking. One of them is in the world of sports as well, which could be pretty dang exciting. And maybe you're not unemployed. Maybe you just want to do a little career switch. I mean, we've seen that this week with Liz Cambage going from the WNBA to OnlyFans, crushing it. And, of course, our guy Bubba Thompson punting on baseball. And he's getting back on the gridiron, trying to spin it at South Alabama. So the opportunities are endless, and this could be a door that you might want to walk through. I got a couple of doors for you. The first door, we all knew about the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile.
Yes.
That's like... And,
is that available to like chauffeur? Can you chauffeur that thing?
Yeah, I don't know what the availability of it is currently. What I didn't know is that Planters had the 26-foot Nutmobile. Did you guys know that?
I did not know that. This is news to me.
Thank you. I'm not the only one. I felt like this might have been a blind spot for me. We all know about the Wienermobile, but the Nutmobile is something that I was not familiar with until I saw the job posting on LinkedIn. And, of course, thanks to Fox 4, I clicked on it.
This is real? There's a Nutmobile?
This is Planner's Nutmobile.
Is it the guy?
They're saying it's iconic.
Oh, like, the Planner's Nut. I think I have seen this mobile before.
Okay.
But I didn't know it was called the Nutmobile.
Well, what else would it be? Well, Chuck, it's a nut, dude.
Planner,
it's a 26-footer.
The Planner's Mobile.
It's a peanut mobile.
Yeah, but that's a nut. It's in the nut family.
It's literally called.
You gotta watch Eric what he's doing over there.
Okay, do me a favor and just read the Fox 4
Planters
headline.
Offers 45K and benefits to drive the iconic.
It's nut in big old
nut mobile.
Yeah,
does that say peanut mobile to you, Dawson?
No, that says nut mobile. I think it's manufactured by the same people as the Wiener Mobile.
It probably is.
Doesn't look
they
nearly.
They did some damn good work with
I
the wiener.
I thought it might have been the actual, like the mascot, the logo. That's what I thought it was going to be.
I was thinking as well.
No, this is
a full-on
that's
peanut.
Yeah, that's a no on that.
You wouldn't drive the Nutmobile for $45K a year, 401K, and health benefits, and travel stipends, and just the general glory
the
Oscar of being the guy
Oscar Mayer one has
commands the Nutmobile?
People, you drive with that, you're driving that thing, people are like, what the hell?
Do I have to take it anywhere special? Am I on somebody else's schedule, or can I just pull that thing in here to 75 and fits you?
I'd like to think that from time to time, you can have your own off-the-clock use of the Nutmobile.
Go ahead and take it over to, like...
It's like Rowdy. Rowdy was taking the Rowdy van or whatever.
Park next to the Rowdy van at the club.
Yeah, you'll get some you time in the vehicle.
Who makes more between the Nutmobile and the Wienermobile?
The Nutmobile makes more than the Wienermobile. I've already done my research on this.
No.
By about 10K. By about 10K.
We're playing 35K for the Wienermobile?
That's right.
Unbelievable.
In this climate, are you kidding me? In this economy?
That's
why Trajan Wolf is here for you, folks.
You know what? It's you get recognized more in that. You might make a little less, but people like appreciate you a little more than...
You think people are more excited to see the Wienermobile than the Nutmobile?
Yes, they are.
You think it's more prestigious to be driving the Wienermobile than the Nutmobile?
Yes. Absolutely.
The Wienermobile is way more... Aesthetically?
Yeah, there you go.
That's aesthetically pleasing.
That's better than just leaving out the S entirely.
Yeah, they're having to pay you more to drive the Nutmobile. They're having to.
Okay.
There's no prestige.
But I'm still just put... You can make more just driving a school bus around yearly.
Well, you have
well,
until...
Well, that's no fun.
Well...
I'm sorry to the school bus folks.
You can make more money doing that. They're really underpaying the Nut and the Wiener.
If you want to join the Peanutter squad, candidates need a college degree, preferably in communications, Walchuk, you qualify, marketing, or public relations. And, of course, a valid driver's license, so Broadus would be out. But the rest of us, I think, are in the running for this. Planners is accepting applications through February 14th.
Where do we have to apply? Let's apply to see if any of us make it.
Nutmobile.com.
Let's see. Let's just all apply and see if they accept.
I think that site's blocked in Texas now.
Okay. That's the most. It's one of the most prestigious squads you can work for, the Peanutter Squad.
That's
so
not true.
Despite Broadus just trying to knock the shine off this great opportunity, Tolos, I'm just letting you know there could be something special.
They have to pay the extra $10,000 just because you look like an idiot driving that thing around.
Oh, Gavin, hey, who would you sacrifice in an elevator? Between us.
Oh, that's a good... Oh, we forgot. I forgot to bring that up.
I thought you were going
to
bring this up. I just popped in my head. I don't know why, because we're talking wieners and nuts, but yeah. All of a sudden that elevator...
Yeah, we were the cargo elevator, and we were thinking the thing was going to maybe crash.
It was rattling.
It was rattling.
I've been in that situation before. Very unsettling. Sometimes it'll drop a floor or two unexpectedly. You can feel yourself kind of levitate. Mm-hmm. I've been stuck in that twice, mm-hmm. Okay, for an extended period of time. I'd sacrifice Brian. He's already got one foot out the door anyway.
Yeah.
He's always talking about the lake house.
And his other foot.
You guys got you know, young children you need to take.
So we were thinking that you had to push somebody on the ground.
Yeah.
Sacrifice.
Well, initially,
and then everybody. Yeah.
I was thinking that you were just looking at the numbers of the floors and you were timing it right before it hits one. You jump. That was my theory. But Broadus said that from his experience, you actually have to lay horizontally,
lay flat.
But there's not much real estate.
So you don't break bones.
If it's me, Walchuk, and Broadus in there, it's like now we're gonna have to stack each other. And Walchuk called bottom.
Of course he did.
I just am a man of the team here.
And I appreciate you for that, Walchuk.
I appreciate you sacrificing me because I think you made the right call.
You got the most surface area as well. We could lay on top of you and probably all be,
That's true.
Oh, there you go.
Four of us would make it. Probably not you. You'd probably be pulled.
Yeah, Walchuk be
well, that's what I'm saying.
There.
Like the videos say, like lay Richardson. Flat.
guys.
Don't jump.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah,
and I'm ready for it.
Because you break backs, knees, ankles. You don't want to jump. Lay flat.
Then you want to increase the surface
area. Protect your head. Protect your head and neck area. If you have a backpack, lay that and then boom, hit it.
You're probably looking at 3 seconds of time to react to most.
Well, you got
to
know what you're doing, though. You don't jump. That's stupid.
Well, I was going to say, that's why I just get on the elevator and lay down.
Chief would jump. And his back would be even worse.
You're right.
31 years old.
That would go spinal on me real quick. Okay, well, we don't have too much time here, but there is another job opportunity. If you want to get in the world of sport, you go to Italy and you could take over as the lead falconer for Team Lazio, the soccer team, because their falconer did the thing where he got a Schwann's enhancement surgery and felt like it was supposed to be broadcasted via social media to show everyone his new mojo. So
the falcon or the handler?
That's a great question. And for clarification's sake, it was indeed the Falcon.
Okay.
Just kidding. It was the actual Falcon.
Damn, I was going to say
this is like
that
a 56-year-old guy, not necessarily in great shape, and he had some confidence issues. I think he was dealing micro-level stuff, and so he went ahead, enhanced that bad boy, was very proud of it, took to social media, and of course the team was not having it. So they decided that they wanted to distance themselves. They said we in the historic symbol of the eagle can no longer be associated with a person who, with his behavior, has made the continuation of any relationship impossible. So they've let him go. Now this dude's talking like he has no regrets. He says, I've never regretted anything, let alone doing something that was a medical procedure. For me, nudity is normal.
Is he going
grew up in
porn?
An open-minded family of naturists, he says. I don't understand what's pornographic about the photo.
Mm. How good of work did they do on him? I mean, what are we talking here?
See, I didn't get any actual visual evidence. I was going to leave that research to Walchuk.
He needs to drive the wiener mobile.
You like a dog with a bone with
way
that
around
thing.
A good wiener more than you.
So I don't know if you could actually find those particular videos, but those enhancement surgeries have come so far over the last decade or so.
Yeah, I stay right on top of that development.
Yeah. You can barely even tell.
Did Zero ever get that procedure done?
Yeah, he's thinking about it. He's saving up. We got that Bally money. So.
We got 3 hours down and two to go here in the G-Bag
Nation. Which job would you prefer? Be the Falconer, replacing the guy, big shoes to fill, or be driving the Nutmobile?
No, I'm going nuts.
I'll go Falconer. That's a really cool job, especially after seeing the latest Planet of the Apes. You guys see that one with the hawks?
Oh,
my training
God.
And stuff?
Oh, yeah, that was legendary.
It looked super cool.
Yeah.
I'd love to be able to put my arm out there and he'll land on it and be careful to not scratch me at the same time. That'd be a pretty killer skill.
Whatever you do, if you're applying for the Falconer gig, just don't be as cocky as the last guy.
There you go. Thank you, Chief.
Have some humility, folks.
Okay, some expressway coming up at 5:20. We'll go commercial free to the top. LA Live's about 45 minutes away for you. What are we doing next, Eric?
Foot.
Football's Finest featuring
Football's Finest.
A real legitimate Mike McCarthy update next.